All right, well, I've got all kinds of stuff on the stage, as you can see this morning. And the title of my message is Presence versus Presence. What I want to do just to begin is I want to share with you a little bit about my own personal opinion, okay? And that's what this is what I believe about presence. I believe that there isn't anything better in the world than an unopened present. You know why? Because you start thinking and dreaming about what might be in the package. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, maybe it's like, and to me, it's always the bigger the present, the better the gift, right? And so I sit there and I think, can you imagine if this gift were for you? Maybe I should be like this. Maybe that would make it even better. And what I mean is that your imagination just goes wild, doesn't it? You begin to think, I wonder if that's the gift I've been praying for. I wonder if that's the gift that I've been leaving all of those hints for mom and dad to get. I wonder if this is going to be the best Christmas at all. And you know what? We base it on those presents. Well, I bought some presents here this morning, as you can see. And the reason is because I wanted to give some presents away. And I'm going to ask Pastor George, would you come up here, please? And I would like for you to stand right next to your present right here. And Pastor Aaron, I want you to come up because I got you a present, and I want you to stand next. This is your present here. And Pastor John, oh, buddy, old pal, this is your present here, so I want you to stand in front of that. Okay, now, first of all, Pastor George, so good to have you back. Okay. We're so blessed. Isn't it great to see him? All right, so I'm going to do some teaching through this, but Pastor George, I would like for you to open your gift, please. It's always fun to watch people open gifts because some of them are real nice and neat and then they'll just rip it off. So, oh, that looks really good. Very good. Oh, wow. I wonder what Pastor Bob got you for Christmas. Go ahead and pull it out so everybody can see. Oh, no. Oh, you know what? I am so sorry. That's not your gift. That's the wrong one. Oh, Cheryl, here, bring out the Pastor George has a different gift. Oh, my word. I'm so embarrassed. Oh, no. I'm sorry, Pastor George. You know I would never do that to you.
You're doing it.
I'm doing it, huh? All right. Very good. Boy, he's good. When he goes after something, he goes after something. Okay, pull it out so everybody can see. It's coffee. All right, now, here's what I want you to understand about something. This is one of the things that we learn about gifts. And the first thing is this. A present means someone is thinking about you. Pastor George, I've been thinking about you, and I know that that's the kind of coffee you like, so I just wanted you to know that, okay? Pastor Aaron, would you please open yours? I'm gonna stand back over here if you don't mind. Just kidding, just kidding. Go ahead and pull it out. Ah. Now here's the second thing I want you to learn about presents. A present demonstrates that you are known. I know he loves those things. And so that's why I got him that for Christmas. Happy Merry Christmas. Pastor John, would you open yours, please? Oh, you're gonna love this. Keep going. Keep going. Show everybody. Oh. All right, now, here's the third thing I want to teach you about gifts. A present brings joy. Look at that smile on his face. All right? Now, here's what I want you to remember, and I want you to know this. God demonstrates his love for us in that he gave us a present. And in this present, here's what he wants us to know. Number one, he's been thinking about us. Number two, he knows the details of your life. You are known by him. And number three, it is his eternal purpose to bring you into his complete joy. Amen? Stand with me out of respect for God's word. No, those presents really are yours. Yeah. I'm going to read from the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. This is God's Word for God's people. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, remind me once again today that it's not about the presence under the tree that truly matter, but the presence that is in my heart. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So I told you this morning that we're going to have a little bit of fun. And I want you to think about that present. Maybe you have to go back to when you were growing up, but I want you to think about that present that you just had to have. Are you beginning to formulate what that was? Do you remember when you were little and maybe it was G.I. Joe with real live hair? I don't know what it was. But what was that gift that you just really felt like you had to have? I was kind of going through some of the news media yesterday on my phone, and I was watching Fox News, and I saw this, that there were these two women who got in a fight over PlayStation 5. It was a horrible fight. It happened at Walmart in North Carolina. But we hear about that at Christmas time, don't we? I want you to think about those famous gifts that everybody just had to have. Well, I picked four of them that I remember growing up that everybody felt like they needed to have as a gift to give somebody. Here's the first one. How many of you remember those? Cabbage Patch dolls. Now, I'm not going to ask you who's had one of those because I'm afraid some of you guys might raise your hand, so I'm not going to ask that. But do you remember the long lines? People used to camp out hours, sometime a night before, just to make sure they had that gift. How about this gift? Oh, Game Boy. How many of you remember that? Boy, things have changed a little bit in time, haven't they? How about this one? I never had one of those. I never wanted one of those. But here was my favorite one. Tickle Me Elmo. Remember that? You know what's interesting about these kinds of gifts, when you have to buy the perfect gift, and maybe some of you found that gift this Christmas, the thing about these is that you know who's really in trouble is the store workers. I can remember they would open the doors and then they would run because the people would just be jumping over carts and whatever to run to the aisle to get that favorite gift. Well, I want to introduce you this morning to a little girl by the name of Jordan. Jordan is on her way to the mall, and she's going to see Santa. And you know what? She's got a list of what she wants Santa to bring her home for Christmas. Watch this video very carefully.
All Jordan wanted for Christmas was for her daddy, who was in the Army, to come home for the holidays.
Have your daddy come home.
When Jordan and her little sister went to meet Santa, they had no idea that Trent Bakersville was hiding behind him.
There's no words for it. I mean, I'm just very anxious to see them. My older daughter, Jordan, thinks she's gonna just lose her mind.
Santa was in on the surprise at the Clarksville, Tennessee Mall, and after a nine-month deployment, the girls got their Christmas wish. We bet there wasn't a dry eye in that mall.
Isn't that cool? Now, what I want you to know about this and remember about this is that Jordan went to see Santa because she wanted Santa to deliver these presents. But I got to tell you, I don't know what was on Jordan's list. I don't know what else is on here, but I can tell you this. You know what made her Christmas the best Christmas ever? It wasn't the presents that she was asking for, but it was the presence of her dad. I think a lot of you might know what that feels like at Christmas time. You would give up all of the presents that are under the tree to have once again the presence of maybe that loved one that is no longer with us here this year, right? Jordan's joy came from the presence of her dad. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, right? We celebrate God manifesting himself to us in the form of a little baby boy. We celebrate the presence of God at Christmas. Look at what the Bible says here. The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. I love that saying. God moved into the neighborhood. Do you remember what that's like? Maybe you're living in, you're at home and all of a sudden somebody's moving in the neighborhood. Remember what that's like? First of all, you see the moving van drive up. And then everybody's looking out the window to see what kind of furniture they have. And then they look to see, do they have any kids our age? Or I wonder what the husband and the wife are like. And we wonder, are they young? Are they old? But when somebody moves into the neighborhood, you know what? It grabs our attention. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came into Bethlehem in the form of a baby, the Bible tells us it should grab our attention. But I also want you to know this. This is not the first time that God showed up on the earth. Let's go back to the book of Exodus and look at this. Let them make for me a sanctuary so that I might live among them. Do you remember what happened when the children of Israel were in the middle of the wilderness, in the middle of the desert? And God caused them to do what? God caused Moses to bring about and build the Ark of the Covenant. It was a sanctuary for him. And the Bible tells us that in a cloud by day, in a pillar of fire by night, God's presence was known and seen. And my friends, that's what happened at Bethlehem. God came. He came in the form of a baby. He wanted to come and live among us, and that's the gift that we celebrate. And I think that we can sum up, why do you love Christmas so much? Here's why. Because God came. The creator of the universe came in the form of a baby. I brought with me something that means a lot to me. I've had a lot of really great presents in my life, but I've never had a present like this one. It's a basketball. It says Kansas on it, but what really means the world to me is these handprints that are on it. They're the handprints of my grandchildren, of Peyton and Landon and Harper and Layla and little baby Tate. These are their fingerprints. And then they all wrote their names on it. I want you to understand something. You couldn't pay me enough money to have this gift. You know why this is so important to me? Because somebody was thinking about me. Because somebody took the time to plan and to make this gift for me. And at just the right time, They gave it to me because they wanted me to know that they love me. That's what God did for us. From all the way back to the beginning of Genesis, even before that, God was thinking about us. And he had a plan. And at just the right moment, you know what happened? God put that plan into action. And that baby boy, the Christ of the Lord God himself, came. And he came to live among us. And that's God's gift to each of us. That's a gift that you can't put a price tag on, right? I read the other day about what I think is a great example of the gospel of what this story is really all about. And it happened in an airport. There was a young mom, and she had a little 7-year-old girl named Sarah. Sarah had cancer, and she was late in the stages of it. It was Christmas time, and her mom and Sarah were getting ready to board a plane so they could fly to the Children's Hospital in Tennessee. Sarah didn't have any hair, and she was pretty pale. So her mom grabbed Sarah, and between the two of them, they went and made their way onto the airplane. So here's Sarah walking down the aisle. Everybody's staring at her. Here's her mom holding two different bags and at the same time pulling an oxygen tank. This mom was on the verge of tears because she knew that the outlook of this little girl was not very bright. They got into their seat, and they were way in the back of the airplane. And they had just gotten comfortable when the flight attendant came up to the mom and said, "Ma'am, there's a gentleman in first class who wants to give up his two seats so that you and your daughter can have them. Would you like them?" Oh, the mom smiled, and she goes, "That would be wonderful." So here's mom, and she grabs Sarah, the little girl, and the oxygen tank and all their bags, and they're walking towards first class, and the mom knows that at some point in time, she's going to pass the gentleman in the aisle. And sure enough, here he comes. And right when she has an opportunity to say something to her, to him, the tears just flow, and all she can say is, "Thank you." She goes and she sits down in her seat. The next day in the hospital, when Sarah was in surgery, the mom decided, "I want to thank this man and I want to thank him properly." So here's what she did. She got on her Facebook page and this is what she wrote. "Not able to hold back the tears, I cried all the way to the first class seating area while my daughter laughed. I think she felt it in her bones, the real and pure goodness at Christmas. I smiled and I thanked you as we passed in the aisle, but I didn't get a chance to properly say thank you. So here it goes. Thank you. Not just for the seat itself, but for noticing. For seeing us and noticing that things aren't always so easy." God noticed you. In those moments, in this last year, when you didn't think anybody was watching, God saw you. And he noticed. He saw you, George and Pat. He saw you, Aaron and Nicole. He saw you, and he noticed. And because he saw you, he sent a little boy in a manger as a gift to demonstrate for all of us that he is a God of love, and he is a God who sees, and he's a God who notices. When Pastor John and I were at St. Francis delivering the goodies to the people and the nurses, and I asked the nurses, I said, can I pray for you? And I said, here's what I want you to know. As Central Community, we just want you to know that somebody noticed. I'll never forget that nurse who was there. The tears streamed down her face, and she said, you don't know what that means to us to know that somebody is thinking about us and that somebody notices what we're going through. Do you remember a story in the Bible? Jesus is on his way to see three of his good friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Do you remember that story? I'm going to pick out something in there in the scriptures that I want to show you. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. What was Martha's problem? Her problem was she was distracted, right? She was distracted. She was thinking about all the wrong things. You see, her focus was on the meal, on the dinner. I mean, and granted, you know what? She did have a lot of work to do. She had to prepare everything. And after all, Jesus was the guest of honor. So we can all relate to her, right? But I also want you to think about this. You know exactly what Martha's feeling like, right? Some of you have a house that you have to clean because you have company coming. You have gifts to buy. You have gifts to wrap. You've got to bake some cookies. You've got to bake some pies. And then you've got to prepare all the food. And Christmas is only 5 days away. And you too are distracted. But the issue is that you're focused on the wrong things. Now, here's the question that I want all of us to answer, because I want us all to have a great Christmas. And this is the question that I think that we should ask in this story. So Martha was distracted. Well, from what? What was she distracted from? Well, let's find out. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Do you see what Jesus said? Jesus says, yes, Martha, there is something that you are distracted from. But he also says, but your sister Mary has found it. She has discovered it. Well, what was it? What was it, my friends, that Martha was distracted from? And here's the answer. His presence. Martha was distracted by all the work that needed to be done, but Mary was focused on what she needed to focus on, which was his presence. Here's how I look at this. Mary was focused on Jesus. Martha was focused on the work. Mary was focused on the relationship, but Martha was focused on the work for the Lord. And I don't know about you, but as pastors, this kind of hits us right between the eyes. Because you know what the Lord is saying to us? The work you do for me is not nearly as important as the relationship you have with me. And the success of the work you do for me is only going to be dependent upon the time you spend with me. And so here's what I want us to learn from this. Don't let God's presence distract you from God's presence. Don't let God's presence distract you from God's presence. We all have gifts. We all have talents. We all have work that we need to do for the Lord, right? But what is he telling us? Don't let that overshadow what the real reason for the season is. In other words, you can't shortcut the relationship. You have to do the work. You have to spend the time. Let's see what the Bible tells us about that. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. And look at this one. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. What is the make or break it in any relationship? It's time, right? Time is the make or break it in any relationship. And here's what we learn from this story. Mary positioned herself, her heart, so she could enjoy the presence. So you may say, well, what does that look like, Pastor Bob? I'll show you what it looks like. The Bible tells us that the Word became flesh. The Bible calls the baby the Word. Mary spent time at the feet of Jesus. Martha was over trying to get all the work done. What do we learn from Mary? Spend time at the feet of Jesus in his Word. Look at what this says. God wants your presence more than he wants your presence. So here's what God is saying us today. If you want to have the best Christmas of the year, if you want to understand and find the true meaning of Christmas, this is how you do it. You come and you sit in his presence. You drink the water from his wells. You eat the food from his table. And you find rest in his pastures. And I promise you this, my dear friends, who I love more than you could ever know or imagine. That's how you find the meaning of Christmas. It's not about the presence under the tree. It is about the presence of this baby who lives in each of our hearts.